Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
An interesting, a very, very interesting paper by Professor Kobe Michael. He says that nearly 2 years after October the 7th, 2023, Israel's strategic achievements are evident in its dismantling of the Iran-led resistance axis, the most significant center of gravity that imposed its will on the region while refining its terror apparatus into an existential threat. Professor Kobe Michael joins us this morning. Very good morning, Professor. I hope that you are well. This realigning or the reshaping of the world order, take us through some of your research on this.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
Actually, in this paper, I wrote about strategic patience as long as there is a strategic compass. And my main argument is that immediately after the murderous attack of October 7th in October in 23, mm-hmm. Israel understood that the war is not a limited war in a bilateral level between Israel and Hamas, and the war is not contained to the geographical area of the Gaza Strip.
Right.
In the first beginning, we understood that Israel is facing a regional multi-front war against the so-called resistance axis, which is led by Iran, where Hamas is one of the more crucial or essential components of this axis. We saw that on October 8th, a day after the murderous attack, Hezbollah began and opened the northern front, and then the militias, the Shiite militias in South Syria.
Oh, Professor, I think we've can you hear us? We seem to have, oh, there we go.
Attacked Israel, yes. Directly mm-hmm. In the first time on April, and then the second time in October.
Right.
So Israel had to align or to adjust or to update its strategy, and the idea or the strategic compass was the idea of creating in the strategic language a change of a second order, which means a change of the entire existing system and not a change of a first order, which is eventually a change in within the existing system, which in its nature it's actually an adjustment to the existing system and the organizing rationale of the existing system.
Right.
And the idea of changing the entire system, the entire regional system, means that Israel has to deal with the most crucial center of gravity mm-hmm. of this regional system, which is Iran itself, because Iran is the head of the octopus. Now, Israel couldn't do it in the first phase. First of all, because of the shock, the trauma, the chaotic situation mm-hmm. Immediately after October 7th, Israel needed the time in order to reorganize itself, and first of all to deal with the southern front, which means with the Gaza Strip, and to defend effectively the northern front vis-a-vis Hezbollah. And I think that the Israeli strategy was eventually built on four main phases, where the first phase was to concentrate firstly on the Gaza Strip in order to weaken Hamas in a very significant manner, then to weaken Hezbollah, to hit Hezbollah, and to peel Hezbollah from its main, I would say, strategic capacities, which are the accurate missiles towards Israel, and its Radwan special forces, which are like the Nukba of Hamas, but
right.
much bigger, much better, much experienced. And we did it. We began doing that in June 24, and eventually we finished in September 24, something like that, with targeting of Hassan Nasrallah himself. The outcome of this attack on Hezbollah was the collapse of Assad regime, and Israel used this opportunity in order to destroy, to eliminate all the facilities and all the capacities of the old Assad regime military, in order to prevent any, I would say, extreme elements from reaching these capacities and using them against Israel. And Israel cleaned all the area which is near the border between Israel and Syria, and actually entered the buffer zone according to the disengagement agreement of 1974, in order to assure that nobody will enter there and nobody will risk or will threat Israel. And
Professor,
the fourth
can I just
phase,
sorry, can I finish the fourth phase and then I'll ask the question.
And the fourth phase was attacking Iran itself.
Right.
It began in October 24 when Israel actually destroyed all the aerial defense of Iran and opened the path, a free path that provided Israel with air superiority from Syria to Iran. Actually, on June 13, with the Rising Lion operation, we did what we did when the Americans eventually joined us in order to accomplish the mission with regard to Fordo, Isfahan, and Natanz.
Doesn't all of this make the failure to recognize and to anticipate October the 7th worse? Because to some extent, as we've always spoken about the octopus, the head of the octopus being Iran, all of these tentacles with Houthis, with Hezbollah, with Hamas, the reality is that surely if Israel zoomed out a little bit, can you hear me?
Professor. I hear you now.
Okay.
I lost you for a moment.
Okay, no problem. So surely if Israel had zoomed out a little bit, they would have seen that Hamas is potentially a very dangerous and significant part of that octopus's tentacles, which means October the 7th should have been on their radar in order to prevent it and not just discount it and say it would never happen. Doesn't that make it worse?
I think that what happened in October 7th is very, I would say, embarrassing and very significant major failure of Israel. It is a conceptual failure, it is an intelligence failure, and it is operational failure. I think that we didn't understand the depth of Hamas motivation and the depth of the connection and the relation and the coordination between Hamas and Iran. Although in breakage, I would say that there were some people that thought differently.
Right.
But the leading conception was that we are able to contain the situation, that we are able to deter Hamas, that eventually Hamas goes through an institutionalization process that makes it more accountable, more responsible, and that Hamas eventually, as a sovereign power in the Gaza Strip, is mainly interested in the well-being of its citizens, of its people. And it was a very wrong conception that eventually led us to October 7th. But we learned something from October 7th, and therefore Israel is much more cautious today with regard to the other fronts, the other borders, and we are much tougher in the east, in the border with Jordan, in the north with Syria and Lebanon, with Iran as well, understanding that Iran provides the capacities to all these fronts, to all of these players and proxies.
Do you think that the that the whole landscape now, with the removal or the success over Iran, the success over Hezbollah, and in reality the success in Gaza, even though it doesn't look wonderful, but it really is a dismantling of Hamas. Do you think that this now has created the way or the ability to relook at the entire Middle East?
Yes, I have no doubt about it. This is exactly what President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu are trying to lead. And this was eventually the topic that was mainly discussed in their two meetings yesterday and the day before yesterday, right, in Washington. This is the idea of changing or reshaping the entire regional system, because now where Iran was exposed in its weakness as a tiger of paper, okay, where Iran lost its capacities, Israel eventually and together with the United States peeled Iran from all of its capacities, its proxy, from its ballistic missiles, from its nuclear facilities. It doesn't mean that Iran is not able to recover,
right,
to reconstitute these capacities. But now we have, I would say, a very, very good capacities, be it intelligence capacities or operational capacities, and American determination in order to mow the grass, okay, on a regular basis, which means that whenever the Iranian regime will try to reconstitute its capacities, Israel and the United States will act in order to prevent that. So now, where Iran is much weaker, all the balance of the regional system has been changed, and now Israel is more capable to close the Gazan file and to open the normalization file, and to broaden the Abrahamic Accords by bringing more countries to this framework, and Israel now is negotiating with Syria, with Lebanon, first of all about some new security arrangements. But I believe that following these security arrangements, we will find Israel with Syria and Lebanon cooperating in other fields as well, energy, water, environmental areas, and this will lead Syria and Lebanon to full normalization and to joining to the Abrahamic Accord framework. And I think that more countries, and not only from the region, countries like Indonesia, for example, will join the Abrahamic Accords. And this is something that will reshape dramatically the entire regional system, where Israel will be a very significant, if not the most significant, I would say, core bone of regional
absolutely
new architecture.
Professor Kobi Michael, senior researcher at the INSS and Misgav Institute, talking about Israel reshaping the world order.